the name of the Earth.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
All right, what's going on, everybody? I'm Jack Maloney, back with a Friendly Bounce, Hardwood Praxis and Basketball Network, our WNBA podcast. I'm here again with our guy, Zachary Bennett. That was DJ Los Latino once again on the intro music. He always does a great job with that. So it's Friday morning. We're going to talk a little WNBA action, obviously. We're going to start with last night's game, which was pretty crazy.
That's why we're here. I wanted to hear you talk about it because I missed it.
Yes. So the Connecticut Sun were hosting the Phoenix Mercury. Really a must-win game for the Sun in terms of their fading playoff hopes. Both teams had double-digit leads in the first half. Pretty wild game. Went all the way down to the final seconds. Dewana Bonner hit a clutch three late to give the Mercury the lead. Then Jasmine Thomas came right back down, hit a bucket to give the Sun the lead back. And then Leilani Mitchell hit a three at the buzzer to win it for the Mercury, 81-80. And she had four threes off the bench. Dewana Bonner had 26 for the Mercury, and the Sun are pretty much done with the loss. They're four games back of the final playoff spot in the East with six to go, so technically not eliminated, but, I mean, it's over.
Yeah, I think with the discrepancy between the top three teams or four teams in the East compared to the West, it's a lot harder to advance games in the East, whereas you have Tulsa, Los Angeles in the West were both severely under 500 and can make up ground pretty easy. But
right.
That sounds like a backbreaker. I think that moves the Mercury two games behind the Lynx in the West.
Two games, and to be honest, I don't know if they had previously clinched or if this win clinched it, but the Mercury have now clinched a playoff spot. With their second win in a row. So they are in. And yes, two games behind the Lynx.
Yeah, they play the Lynx twice, once at home and once on the road before season's end, so that'll be
that'll be
crazy. So Dewana Bonner scored 26 and hit the go ahead three, you're saying? That's what happened?
Yeah, she hit a go ahead three with about 30 seconds to go. And it was deep. It was like at least like 5 or 6 feet behind the line. I don't know if anyone's seen the highlights, they'll know. But that was one of the deepest threes I've seen this year. I know we tweeted a vine of it on the Friendly Bounce account. If anyone is looking for it,
that's at symbol Friendly Bounce.
Yeah, that's right.
There's no the there, so people got to know. Plus, we got to keep to that corporate sellout theme that I had going, or maybe I'll talk to it. You don't have to.
At Friendly Bounce on Twitter, we are now followed by the official Twitter account of the International Slow Pitch Softball Association.
Oh snap! Is that men's and women's? Because I'm a rec league champion, co-ed league champion, one time, softball.
Yeah, I should know. If they're listening, shout out to the International Slow Pitch Softball Association. Good looks on the follow.
You never know who might be listening, Jack. Oh, that reminds me, the Dewana Bonner, you're saying the D3. I was at the game, I should know this. When last week, or 2 weeks ago almost now, who from Washington hit that deep three with like 8 or 9 seconds on the shot clock?
Oh, Kara Lawson. Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, that, I mean, just being where I was, that was the straw that broke the camel's back, is what the saying is. But I mean, that was a deep three, and I enjoyed. And my following, if they're listening, probably would not have appreciated me going off on that deep three. So who's fourth in the East? No.
Yeah. So Washington, who we were just talking about. Yeah. So like we're Connecticut. I mean, they weren't going to make the playoffs pretty much anyway, but this loss seals it. Because technically they're not eliminated, but Washington's 15-11. Like they're a good team. They're not going to. They would have to lose like at least four or five of their last few games, and so that's just not happening.
And what about what does the situation look like with the top two seeds out East?
Yeah, well, Indiana lost on a heartbreaker Wednesday night to the Sparks, and so they're 1.5 back. But the Fever just beat the Liberty on Sunday at home. So, I mean, they're right there. That's going to be a tough playoffs out in the East.
Who beat the Liberty earlier? I'm sorry, I missed it.
The Fever. Indiana Fever. They are in second place in the East, 1.5 back. After they lost on Wednesday night.
The Fever could get some help from the Liberty later on today in New York when they play the Lynx.
Good segue.
That's a nice segue right there. You see what I did?
That's good podcasting.
I like to think I'm a savvy veteran, but who knows? we got the segue there, and then we completely lost it. Today, later, I know locally in Minnesota, people can watch on Fox Sports Plus. Nobody's going to really have that, so I guess we'll corporately plug the WNBA live access.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's $15. I mean, I think it'll probably be cheaper now that the playoffs is coming, but I think on our last WNBA podcast, the first inaugural Friendly Balance WNBA podcast,
we discussed
briefly, or I asked you questions about the Liberty's defense and what made them so damn good, and I believe you compared them, you know, we don't like comparisons, but sometimes they are necessary for the context on this program. You compared them to the Grizzlies, the Liberty to the Grizzlies, because of their pace. And, I actually got to, I talked to Coach Cheryl Reeve of the Lynx today about that, because I noticed that the Liberty give up the fewest amount of points in the paint each game to their opponents.
Yep.
And it's by a wide margin. It's like, they give up like 22, and then everybody else is giving up 35 or something like that, I believe. But it's a wide margin.
I got it right here.
You got it?
Yeah. The Liberty give up 23 points and in the paint a game, and the next closest second place is actually Minnesota at 28, so they got a good margin.
Yeah, and it's, I should have probably known that. But I did ask, because I asked you last week, and you can only give me so much. Cheryl Reeve knows what she's doing, so I don't know if that's Jack. But she mentioned Tina Charles, I think that's a name you mentioned too.
Yes.
In defense.
Yes.
And then also that the Liberty are willing to let you shoot the three ball. I wish I would have their opponent three-point percentage in front of me. I do not, but it sounded like they concede that shot a lot from what Reeve told me. And,
okay.
I asked her then about running after made baskets. The enthusiasm in her response made it seem like that is something the Lynx plan to try to do later on. They're going to try to run after made baskets, just as if it were a transition opportunity, which Reeve said was a trend around the league that a lot of teams are starting to do, and I think that's in the NBA too.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes sense, especially when you have as great of a defensive team as New York. They don't give up anything in the paint. They only give up... their defensive rating is best in the league, 90, 0.71 points per 100 possessions. So, like, you're not really scoring on them in the half court. I think they held San Antonio to, like, 50-something the other day.
Damn.
And so, yeah, obviously if you can get out and run on them, it's going to be a lot easier to score in transition when the defense isn't set in the confusion, you know, cross matchups, and it's definitely going to be a lot easier to score.
I know I'm sort of elaborating, but this is sort of my beat. Simone Augustus will not play. I highly doubt she plays. She broke something in her foot, and she was on crutches yesterday, or 2 days ago, I'm sorry, and yesterday she was not on crutches, but she was in a boot, which apparently a lot of players wear if they're feeling sort of sore, just because the boot helps, you know, regenerate good health, is what...
Is wearing like a walking boot?
Yeah, a walking boot. It keeps things stable. I mean, if it's the least bit sore, I can understand that. Maybe you, with your knowledge of sports medicine...
Yeah, I mean, it just helps in healing and in rest and taking some of the stress off the foot.
So she was in a walking boot. Reeb said that she's out indefinitely, but indefinitely means she doesn't have any idea.
Right.
She would like to have her back before the postseason, but she plays things pretty close to the chest because there's only so many people there. It's like me and Kent Youngblood from Star Tribune. Shouts to him if he's listening. And then it's a couple of Wolves employees. So it's not like the NBA where there's a lot of coverage, which is a problem for the WNBA. So there's not, like, you don't have the guy from the Associated Press just asking all the questions that need to be asked. And when they are asked, because they are asked, they aren't answered as with descriptive answers. So that's sort of a weird niche for the WNBA, I guess. You don't need to reveal all your cards. That's showman, I guess.
Yeah, so that, obviously, first place in the East, the Liberty. First place in the West, the Lynx. So, that, I mean, that should be a good one. It's unfortunate that it's not on TV. I think the Los Angeles, Tulsa, and San Antonio, Seattle are both going to be on NBA TV. But you got to get the live access if you don't live in Minneapolis or NYC, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, even if you do live in Minneapolis, you don't have Fox. Nobody has Fox Sports Plus.
That's like the third one you got to get. You got to get like the fourth tier to buy that.
I mean, I have DirecTV, and we don't even get Fox Sports North, so I don't even watch the Twins.
yeah, it's terrible.
But it is the first of two meetings between these teams before the season ends, so it is. I think the Lynx are a half game or maybe a full game back of New York for the best seed or the best record in the WNBA. I know they're behind in the loss column, which matters. I think they're one in the head.
The Liberty are 18-8, and the Lynx are 19-9. So
there's definitely, with the Lynx being two games ahead of Phoenix and within fighting distance with the Liberty, two matchups against each team the rest of the way, and then a couple games against Seattle. They have six games left after today. So it'll be a crunch to the finish, especially because the Lynx haven't really assembled all the pieces, operating like a machine, like they're supposed to, like they are expected to. What other games this weekend?
So tonight there's five games.
No, tomorrow night you mean? Or tonight? Tonight.
It's tonight, Zach.
I'm trying to pay attention, man.
not a great set of games, but the Mercury do play the Mystics. That should be fun. Dream versus the Fever. Which is, I mean, the Dream are done. But Shoni Schimmel is a ton of fun. She went off the other night. Stars versus... Yeah, she gets buckets.
She's always a threat to hit a teammate, too, I feel like. She's a star.
Then we got the Star Storm is the nightcap on NBA TV, but they're both, they're a combined 14 and 41, so I don't really think you're going to be checking that one out. And then we got Tulsa versus Los Angeles, which is going to be on NBA TV, Candace Parker in action. The Shock, we haven't really talked about it. Skylar Diggins tore her ACL. They were on fire. She tore her ACL. Since then, they've been pretty bad. They're still going to make the playoffs because of their hot start, and the rest of the West is terrible. But the Shock are 13 and 14. The Sparks are right on their tail. So this
game's back.
They are 2.5, I believe.
Okay.
The Sparks are 2.5 games back of Tulsa for the third spot in the West. Tulsa is still pretty fun backcourt. Raquana Williams.
She can shoot.
Has filled in for Diggins, and Odyssey Sims are pretty fun. But obviously the show there is Candace Parker, who I think we're gonna talk a little bit about her because she's been ridiculous. She has had 9 assists her last 2 games, which has raised her season average assists per game to almost 7. And her career assists per game is 3.6. And so since she's come back this season, you know, she missed the first half, which we talked about the other day, to rest from her time in Russia. But since she's come back, it's been unbelievable. Just really the ultimate point forward. She's averaging 18 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 blocks, 2 steals. And really, they run the team through her, in that they love to get her the ball either up top, the top of the key, or on the wing. And they run cuts, picks, like back picks off of that. And she just stands up there, and she likes to zip these overhead passes. And so she's 6'4 or 6'5 or whatever. And so she can easily throw it over. She just throws it over everybody's head. So she just kind of stands out there, waits for an open teammate, and just picks them out and just zips these passes in. And they just get easy buckets time after time. But it's incredible is that she's not just a post player who is a great passer but kind of stationary. Like, she'll do it in the fast break. She'll drive and kick. It's really incredible how she's turned her game into this facilitator while still also putting up like 18 a game. It's not like she's not scoring. I mean, I don't know how much you've had a chance to watch her. She's not going to win the MVP because she didn't play the first half of the season. But I mean, they weren't going to make the playoffs, and now, like, you wouldn't be shocked if they won it. So I think she has to be in the conversation for MVP.
I know the plan was to have this discussion. I'm a little disappointed we didn't build it up more. We'll mark it so we're even on the segues now, I think. We've had a good one and maybe a bad one, but one that could be getting better. No, I have seen Candace Parker play. I saw her this year. It really first occurred to me how tall she was and how athletic she was when Maya Moore was taking free throws, and Sylvia Fowles, who is 6'6", and models her game after Shaq, standing next to Candace Parker, and they are like the same height. And it's, you know, this is the most considered one of the most dominant centers in the WNBA right now and previously. And Candace Parker is somebody who can handle the ball and throw passes from out on the perimeter. So yeah, it is really remarkable. She is a crazy good player to watch. But you know, aside from what the NBA won't. The WNBA, I'm sorry, won't do, which is award Candace Parker the MVP, because you can't sit out a half a season and win the MVP. I mean, it sets a bad precedent, but it is worth having the discussion.
Right, because we can have the discussion that she's not going to win the award. Like, it just, no matter what,
no.
Like, she's not winning it. But, I mean, is she the most valuable player is a different discussion than is she going
Absolutely.
To win the award.
And it's a sticky road, so I don't know if we need to go too in-depth with it. It's interesting to think about. Maybe one of us could write about it, but we probably won't. There's the MVP discussion, I think, regardless of if it's the WNBA or the NBA,
yeah.
ultimately comes down to, you know, how do you define value?
Right, right.
Because Maya Moore hasn't played well recently, and we talked about that on the last podcast, but if she is playing well, as she did, you know, during the stretch of games where she was scoring like 27 or 30 points in the second half and comeback wins and just going crazy.
Yeah.
Like Steph Curry in the NBA, another comparison that we don't want to make, but Steph Curry won the MVP on the Warriors, the best team in the league, and you could argue that without Curry, the Warriors are still a pretty damn good team.
Right.
And the Lynx are the same. You know, the Lynx have five Olympic gold medals. So it's, you know, Maya Moore in that sense is at a disadvantage compared to Candace Parker. But
yeah,
it is. I don't know who else I would give it to, really, if I haven't admittedly seen a lot of games around the league like you have with the Liberty. I know Brittany Griner missed the first six games with serving a suspension, so, and she hasn't. She's good and she's the anchor, but I have no idea.
I think it's going to be Elena Deladon.
Oh, we hadn't even mentioned her yet. Damn.
Yeah, I think she's going to win it, but yeah, I mean, so Parker's averages don't qualify because she hasn't played enough games, but she'd be fourth in scoring, first in rebounds, and first in assists. So, like, I mean, that's got to be, that's extremely valuable. Like, you don't have to like qualify that. It's just, that's valuable. And so, I don't know, but like, I mean, it's like saying, is LeBron or Durant more valuable? Like, Elena or Candace Parker, like, I mean, they're the two best.
Yeah, totally.
Like, you could give it to either one of Maya, Elena, or Candace in any year, and really, you wouldn't be wrong. You know what I mean? You can make an argument.
Not at all.
Anyway, but yeah, that's definitely that MVP discussion. It doesn't matter what sport. It's just how you define it, and we don't need to spend, you know, 10 minutes just rambling about that.
Or we can make it our entire next podcast. That'd be the MVP discussion.
I think that would be fair.
Maybe some feedback from potential listeners out there will be appreciated.
Yeah, I mean, we got, what do we got, a couple weeks left here? I think that's...
Not long.
Yeah, that's fair to start jumping into that discussion.
Yeah, the Lynx have six games left, so it can't be much, and it looks like they're getting that matchup with Los Angeles, so we should do playoff previews too.
Yeah, oh yeah. You got anything else for today? Otherwise, we'll...
I think we're on time. Wow, it's worked out well.
About like 25 minutes or so. Not bad at all.
Yeah, nice.
All right.
Yeah, no, I'm good. Until next time.
Yeah. So, thanks for listening. WNBA Podcast. I'm Jack Maloney. That's Zach Bennett. Episode 2 in the books. Here's our guy, DJ Los Latino, playing us out.
Take us out.
Have a good one, everybody.
I'm now taking over your radio.